When you become one of His children, God grants you a place in His forever family. In fact, as a Christian, you belong to a living body, a spiritual organism of people designed to function together in harmony. Welcome to Insight for Living, featuring the Bible teaching of Chuck Swindoll. Today, we're looking at 1 Corinthians 12, where Paul said, "Yes, the body has many different parts. If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear?" God has put each part just where He wants it. Today, Chuck Swindoll talks about finding your place in the body.
Just as in the body that we have in ourselves, there is a skin that wraps its way around us, like this external membrane holding muscle and blood and bones together. So the Spirit of God wraps Himself around the body of Christ and gives it unity and direction and purpose. There are all kinds of different things, any number of members within the body, but they are all part of the same unit. So I suppose we could say the emphasis in 12 through 27 is on diversity held together in unity. Now, with that in mind, let me give you three thoughts, three points as we work our way through 12 through 27 that I think will help explain some things about the church. Each of the three begins with the same statement: there are many parts. Now, again, think of the body. Think of a body with a head, hands, legs, feet, arms. Think of the glands, think of the organs, all of the different parts. And then with that in mind, let me give you three thoughts to go with it. First of all, there are many parts, but verses 15 through 20 teach us each one is important. Each one is important. Look at verse 12. Even as the body is one and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is the body of Christ. He sort of summarizes it in verse 14, the body is not one member, but many. Now keep that in mind. Just as your body is made up of all of these organs, all of these members, all of these things that make it coordinated and healthy, so the body of Christ is made up of all these many parts. Each one is important. For example, he gives the foot vocal cords, and he allows the foot to talk. And he says in verse 15, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not a part of the body. Now here's another conversation that's going on in Paul's mind. He says, if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not a part of the body. In fact, it says, if the whole body were an eye, what would we ever hear? And if the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? That's another one. The delightful smells that are about us. God has placed the members, each one of them. You know what name belongs there? Yours, fellow Christian. You who have spent too many years of your life envious of somebody else and their gifts. You who have wondered if you're really all that valuable, all that important in God's eyes. Look at what it says. God has placed the members, and then He puts your name there, each one of them, in the body, just as He desired. If they were all one member, where would the body be? But now there are, here it is again, many members, all of them important, one body. When the Lord was designing His body, the body of Christ, He put you in it on purpose to fill your role, to exercise your gifts. Just as you expect me to exercise my gifts and the teacher of your adult fellowship to exercise his or her gifts, Just as you expect music people to do their music and to do it well, so all of us that you may know about expect you to do your part in the body. You have your helping. You have your giving. You have your mercy. You have your skills. You're important in all the parts of the body. Now, second, there are many parts, and they are all interdependent. Be careful that you hear that word correctly. Not independent, interdependent. That's like our human bodies. We are all interdependent. My brain says to my hand, touch the pulpit, and it cooperates. My eye looks in a direction, and it telegraphs need to my brain, and I sense a need for arms to be placed around a person shattered in grief. And my hands and arms cooperate and put themselves around that person and hold that individual close. It's all part of the interdependence of the members of the body. Now look at this. 21. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Well, it can't say that. On the contrary, the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary, says verse 22. Why? Do you know that the eye can't touch anything? If it does, it hurts it. The eye can only see. It needs the hand to touch. Look at the next illustration in 21. The head cannot say to the feet, I have no need of you. As a matter of fact, verses 23 and 24 really are verses that say those members that we tend to give less honor are in fact far more important and deserving of honor than we ever think about or give to them. In fact, with that in mind, the purpose of it all is 25, that there should be no division. I love that. No breakdown in the body, no disharmony, that the healthy body would work together, and that the members should have the same care for one another. Well, that's ideal, not just in a human body, but in the body of Christ, that there is compassion, understanding, weeping with those who weep, rejoicing with those who rejoice. That's what the next verse is all about. If one member suffers, verse 26 begins, all the members suffer. Look at the next part of verse 26. Hold on now. It might seem easier to take. If one member is honored, all the members are honored. Really? Illustration. Earlier we said goodbye to the Heggs. They have worked hard and long, and they have a sabbatical. And we said, what are your plans? Doug and Anita said, well, we're going to go to Yosemite for a while, and then we're going to spend 3 weeks in Maui. How many of you honestly thought, my company doesn't send me to Maui. I mean, I work hard. Rather than saying, good for them. I applaud that. Isn't that great? Or you pull up into your parking spot, and somebody from your adult fellowship pulls up next to you in a new car. Before you get out, do you say to your mate, isn't that great? Or do you say, well, at least we tithe. You know, that's what they do down at the office, because they're not a member of the body. Down at the office, you get promoted. Everybody else around go, good deal. That's great. Man, I've been praying for that for the longest time. that you'd get the promotion and I wouldn't. Man, am I glad. Hopefully you got a good raise, too. Man, that's terrific. Good for you. Are you kidding? Get a life, Chuck. At the office, you get stabbed, man. And if you get the promotion, they're ready to stab you all the quicker. In the body, well, don't push me. How important it is that when one member is honored, that the whole team says, hot dog. Oh, that's great. That's a healthy body. That's because even though there are many, many parts, they are all interdependent. See, when healing happens to the lung, the whole body breathes easier. When the headache leaves, the whole body thinks better. When the bone heals, the whole body is able to do its motions and movements. And it's its own way of saying, good for you, you did it. Third, there are many parts, none is exclusive. This won't take long, it's just verse 27. Now you are Christ's body and individually members of it. Do you notice whose body it is? It isn't your body. It isn't your teacher's body. It is Christ's body. He is the only head. And therefore, hold on now, therefore, as important as you are, you're not exclusive. It's not just the head and you. It's the head and us. No one part is so gifted and so great and so in demand that the other parts really, really don't play that much significant role in the plan. No. You know what happens when that occurs in a body? Things get pushed around and, well, it's called a tumor. Called a tumor. Listen. Sometimes a dreaded thing occurs in the body, a mutiny, resulting in a tumor lipoma. A lipoma is a low-grade benign tumor. It derives from a single fat cell, skilled in its lazy role of storing fat, that rebels against the leadership of the body and refuses to give up its reserves. It accepts deposits but ignores withdrawal slips. As that cell multiplies, daughter cells follow its lead and a tumor grows like a fungus, filling in crevices, pressing against muscles and organs. Occasionally, a lipoma crowds a vital organ like an eye, pushing it out of alignment or pinching a sensitive nerve, and surgery is required. Oh, but there's something worse. A tumor is called benign if its effect is fairly localized and it stays within its membrane boundaries. But the most traumatizing condition in the body occurs when disloyal cells defy inhibition. They multiply without any checks on growth, spreading rapidly throughout the body, choking out normal cells. White cells, armed against foreign invaders, will not attack the body's own mutinous cells. Physicians fear no other malfunction more deeply. It is called cancer. For still mysterious reasons, these cells, and they may be cells from the brain, the liver, kidney, bone, blood, skin, or other tissues, grow wild and out of control. See, they're exclusive cells. Exclusive. They're out of control. Each is a healthy, functioning cell, but disloyal. No longer acting in regard for the rest of the body. That's what I'm getting at. We are members of Christ's body, And whether you want to rationalize and call it grace or living free or claiming your rights or enjoying your liberty, you wait a minute, you are operating your life under the head, the headship, the authority of the living Christ. If you're not careful, you'll become a tumor. And if out of control, a cancer to an otherwise healthy body. There are several reactions that one could have to a message like this. No need to linger on this in a lengthy manner. Some of those responses are, Lord, thank you for including me. I realized before you found me and turned my life around, I really was on a path of self-destruction, a collision course with my own world and my own way. Thank you for reaching into the ranks of humanity and pointing me out and claiming me as your own. I'm grateful to be a part of the body. A second reaction is, Lord, I'm available. I can't do a lot of the public things, or maybe you can. If you can do them, I can't do this, I can't do that, but what I can do, Lord, I'm available. And I want to serve you. If it's within the boundaries of the church proper, fine. If it's in the body of Christ broader than the local church, fine. I just want to be exercising my gifts. I want to stay healthy. I'm available. Third reaction, Lord, without you as the head, I'm out of control. Really, in myself, without your headship, I'm not very valuable at all. One scientist, while addressing the Chicago Medical Association, gave this comment, which I thought was indicative of how we are somewhat worthless without our head. Consider the average 150-pound body of an individual from its chemical aspect. It contains lime enough to whitewash a fair-sized chicken coop, salt enough to fill a small shaker, iron enough to make one 10-penny nail, plus some water. The total value of the ingredients, 98 cents, or about 60 cents per hundred weight on the hoof. About 98 cents. But you know what? When Christ becomes the head, there is an eternal dimension that is added, and it makes you and me priceless and vital members of the body, just as the foot, the hand, the heart, the arms, and the legs. I want you to close your eyes and bow your head. Just for a few moments, I do know that the hour is late. Just for a few moments, if you are in the body of Christ, start with that first reaction. Lord, thank you. Thank you for finding me when I wasn't looking for you. Thank you for saving me when it had never dawned on me that I was lost. Thank you for turning my mind around from perverse things and selfish things to things that are holy and good. Lord, I'm available. In whatever way you want to use me, I'll push my schedule around. I'll make other arrangements, but I want to be available, accessible. Lord, my talents are yours. My treasure is yours. Remind me every time I'm putting my bills in the mail, remind me of the role you play as first in my life in the giving of my treasure to you. You bought me and I'm yours. I've even got this job because you provided it. And you give me the help to sustain it. Now, if you don't know Christ, The simple fact is you're not in the family, you're not among the flock, and really you're not a part of the body. But that's not the end of the sentence. You can be. We want you to be. God's hand is on you and winning you to Himself. Then give up the fight. Say, yes, Lord, come into my life. I take you now as my own. Father, thank you for your wonderful work in and among us. Thank you for getting our attention with this word picture. Thank you for the reminder of weeping with those who weep and applauding those who are honored and are blessed. Lift us out of our ingrown world, Lord. Remind us that as members of the body, you are the head, and we are partners with one another. We're not enemies. Show us how to live in harmony and unity in this gigantic world full of competition, comparison, and confusion. May we return to filling a role in a society that longs for models, a role of loving acceptance and unselfish cooperation and personal involvement in caring for the needs of others. Lord, thank you for the honor you've given to us to have selected us to be a part of your own. May we never run wild with that and grow a tumor in this body and bring disease and pain and heartache. Give us a health and a strength that can come only from you and your Spirit. We pray, Father, through the name of Jesus Christ, our head, the head of the body. And all the members of the body said, Amen.
When we estimate the value of the physical human body, it comes to about 98 cents. But spiritually speaking, as a member of God's family, we're deemed priceless. And that's cause for celebration. You're listening to Insight for Living and Chuck Swindoll. Find us online at insightworld.org. So when was the last time you paused to jot down your gratitude to God for His blessing in your life? Or spent concentrated time putting words to your passionate praise? Well, for most of us, we're well-intentioned, but sometimes fail to find the words or the place. And yet few expressions are more important or rewarding. Well, for that reason, Chuck Swindoll developed a prayer journal for you called Passionate Prayer. Chuck, we tend to have stereotypical ideas about prayer that stifle our progress.
When we envision someone in prayer, usually we picture folded hands, perhaps a furrowed brow, and eyes squeezed tightly shut. Over the centuries, however, Christians have expressed themselves to God, not only speaking silently to their God with their heads bowed, but also in the written word. I've enjoyed this discipline of writing my thoughts and prayers also. Words flow through my pen and into my personal journal. And today, we at Insight for Living are pleased to offer an exclusive journal from us for you to enjoy. It's called Passionate Prayer. This is not a sterile book of blank pages. In this spiral-bound book, I'll introduce you to 12 of my own heroes of passionate prayer. These women, these men, took valiant stands in the face of insurmountable odds. Each one possessed a spiritual maturity that sustained their life of integrity. But that's not what I love most about them. It's what those men and women did in private, far more than what they did in public, that impresses me. They were driven by their passion for God. These heroes went to God with impassioned requests for Him to work all over the world. They modeled passionate prayer. So join me in this journey, won't you?
request the journal called Passionate Prayer, and then commit with me to follow the words of the great missionary Hudson Taylor, who once said, "Let's go forward on our knees."
We're confident you'll enjoy owning this spiral-bound prayer journal from Chuck Swindoll. It's yours when you give a donation of any amount. Whether large or small, your contribution helps advance the mission and ministry of Insight for Living. If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888. And online, go to insight.org. We want this prayer journal to serve as a reminder of our partnership together. As a listener-supported ministry, we rely on the generosity of loyal listeners like you. When you give, request your copy of Passionate Prayer. If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888 or go to insight.org. Gratefully, Insight for Living enjoys a strategic partnership and a cherished relationship with our monthly companions. If you're a monthly companion, please know how much we appreciate your consistent, faithful support. A monthly companion agrees to give a donation every month, providing strength and stability to our ministry. And we're hoping today's the day you'll decide to take this important step as well. If you're listening in the United States, become a monthly companion right now when you call 1-800-772-8888 or go online to insight.org/monthly companion. I'm Dave Spiker. Tomorrow, you'll hear Chuck Swindoll talk about abiding in the vine. That's Tuesday on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Finding Your Place in the Body, was copyrighted in 1993, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2014 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide.